Welcome again to today's School of Prayer, where we learn how to pray, and we pray according to the will of God. As usual, before we start to pray, or as part of our prayer, of course, it's school. So what do you do in a school? You learn, you study. So as part of that, we are studying the scriptures together. So for that reason, the first thing we'll do is to take our declaration of understanding. All right, are we ready for that? All right, I want to let's go there. Now I declare. The knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right, let's open to our Bibles today to the book of Psalms. I wanted to start something. What we have been discussing, we want to continue from there. We'll read Psalm 91. There's something I want to bring up from Psalm 91 for us to see. I believe most of us know this psalm by heart. Or at least we are very familiar with it. Let me just read the first few verses, then I'll go down to the area where we are picking up from today. Say, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now for a few meetings, we have been looking at this issue of the praises of God, and I've established for us again and again that God does not ask for anything for Himself. Even when we are supposed to praise Him, it is not Him we are doing any good for. The good has been done is for us. You are doing good to yourself, you are doing good to your neighbor, to your family, to your household, to the earth, to the church, when you praise God. You don't do God any good more than the fact that He derives pleasure from seeing that His people are blessed. You get my point? Yeah, that really, can I use that expression? That really blesses Him. For God, what blesses God, what makes God happy is that you see that, wow, you are doing very well. So anybody that contributes to your doing well has, so to speak, you know, which one do I use now? I don't want to use the word helped God or... But you get my point, all right? Pleasing to God. So God has... you've contributed to His pleasure. Let's put it like that. But directly, Him? No, there's nothing. There is nothing you can do for Him. Nothing. So if He talks about praise, don't ever reason it. Because the Bible writes to help us understand, to help us obey, to help us adapt to what He's saying. So sometimes, He may speak in such a manner that gives us the impression that it is God we are doing it for, per se. Do you understand? But really, He's not the one. So if you praise God, it doesn't make Him bigger than He was yesterday. Bear that in mind. So we've been talking about that, all right? So He said, I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress. It is you that's recognizing that He's your refuge and your fortress. What He is does not change. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's whether you recognize it that is the issue. My God in whom I trust. Therefore, it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. And this world is full of snares. We've talked about it. This life has traps. Some of them are set deliberately against you. They're not just there by accident. People actually set traps. Satan sets traps, hoping that you will fall inside. He said, it is He that delivers you. Of course, when we read this, we like to personalize it. From the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. Now, let's go down to where I want us to get to. Now, God began to speak in verse 14. He said, because He has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Please bear that in mind. Because He has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because He has known. Please, did you notice that? Because He has known my name. He will call upon me and I will deliver him. I will be with him in trouble, that is, in the time of trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. And with a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. Please let me just quickly read that in another translation for a minute. All right. I want to read the NIV, verse 14. He said, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. Did you notice that? I will protect him for what? He acknowledges. Not just know, but acknowledge. What's the difference between something you know and something you acknowledge? Who can tell me? It's not a big difference. If you don't get it right, when I tell you, realize you know it. You just didn't say it the way I wanted you to say it. Huh? Yes, acknowledging requires expression. You can know something is in your heart. It's just there. But when you acknowledge, you actually express that knowledge. Do you get my point? Acknowledge helps us understand that the knowledge is full, is complete, so it overflows in an expression. That's acknowledging. Do you understand? And it's very critical. I want us to understand this. He said, because he has loved me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. That's what I've been talking about. The acknowledgement of his name. He said, he will call on me and I will answer him. What I want us to understand here is that loving him and acknowledging his name, they are very important in the matter, in the issue of prayer. I've been saying this, I've been talking about some time now about faith. You know, I said something on Saturday that we keep on saying, you know, as if, I was explaining that there's something to do with the word of God. People say, believe it. I said, well, it is true. You believe the word of God. All right? But the real thing you really do with the word, what was that we said that day, on Saturday? Yes, you pay attention to it. You listen. Listen. Okay, sorry. I use the word listen. Listen to this, all right? The degree to which we listen to the word of God is what determines the amount of power it will release into your life. And one of the first things it does is to bring faith. It is a word that you say you are believing that actually brings the ability to believe. I don't know whether I get my point. Please, I need to emphasize that point. I've been saying it's been on my heart for the last few weeks. So I think we should quickly look at that point. Mark chapter 4. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 4. I want to read something from the Amplified, the classic Amplified now. I want to read from verse 20. Okay, let me first read in the common translation we have. Then I'll go to Amplified. I'm already in NIV, so let me use NIV. Okay, let me just read from verse 21. It said to them, do you bring in a lamb to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out in the open. He now said, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Now notice verse 24, which is why I read it. Just wanted to get some context there. He said, consider carefully what you hear. He continued, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Now, please, I want us to read that 24 in the Amplified Bible, the classic Amplified. I don't know how the modern Amplified renders it. You know, that one's slightly different from the, not slightly, it's markedly different from the classic one, yes. I'm used to the classic one. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Now, notice the next line. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. That's what I want to just bring out. The measure of thought. Let me add my own words. The measure of attention. The measure of carefulness you put to the words you hear. That's what determines the measure of virtue or power. All right. That will be returned to you. Like I said, faith comes to you when the word enters your heart. How does faith come? By hearing. How does faith come? By hearing. Let me hear it again. How does it come?
By hearing.
Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. So what you do with the word of God, you know, I think there are too many things that are built around it. And what God kept on saying again and again is pay attention. What he keeps saying again and again is what? pay attention. There's something the good Lord helped me with. If I'm listening to a message and you distract me, all right, or something distracts me, you knock on the door, or I doze off. Once I catch myself, you know what I do? I pull it back. You know, I pull it back. I'm not in a hurry to finish it. If it takes me 2 days to finish that 1 hour message, let it be 2 days. If I'm listening to a message, my wife and I say, hey, my husband, I pause it. You know what they're saying? I go back. In fact, sometimes I deliberately go, I know maybe it was at 15 minutes when you spoke. I go back to 13 minutes. He said, be careful how you listen. Be careful what you are hearing. Be careful how you listen. It's so critical. He said, the amount of thought and study that you give to it, the amount of attention is what determines. You know, what I've come to realize is that, you know, I've been saying it for, you know, for some time now, that this, what you call the word of God is a spiritual substance. It's not letters. The Lord is my shepherd, as you read in Psalm 23. Now, please don't misunderstand. Don't misunderstand me. It's not the word of God. It's the way the word of God enters you. Do you care what I'm saying? You read, the Lord is my shepherd. There is something that jumps into your heart when those words hit your ears. Do you get? That thing is a spiritual substance. It is a spiritual substance. It is, see, it's not you that's acting on the word. It's that spiritual substance that entered you that will act on you. So next time there is a problem, suddenly you won't know why you are not afraid. It's very difficult to, see, let me tell you the truth. I've been in this business for a long time. Are you getting my point? I mean, when I say business, I don't mean preaching. The learning side. Now I'm on the preaching side. I've been on the preaching side for a very long time also. And I can assure you, there's very little method. That's what causes conflict amongst us sometimes. Some people will say, hey, you get them the money. You say this, you say this, you say that. Some will say, you don't need to say anything. What did Abraham say? You know, those arguments keep going up and down. What I can assure you from my experience, there's really no method. It's whether the thing has entered you or it hasn't. Now, if you keep on staying around the word, are you getting me? It will keep on entering you. And as it's entering, it's making you do different things. Now, when you want to pass it across to somebody else, that's where your problem now starts. You start passing across what you did. I woke up in the morning and I prayed by 5 a.m. That's what you did. That is not how the word entered. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You see what I'm saying? Okay, just follow me. Now, what were we reading? No, I finished that one. We have to go back. Psalm 91, yes. So I was saying that there's a fullness of knowledge that you need to get to that expresses itself in what? Acknowledging. It expresses itself without you thinking about it. It just comes like this Lord is my shepherd that we talked about just now. When that spirit inside that one enters into your heart, a problem just comes in the house. You understand? Maybe it's a need, financial need. And without you thinking about it, the Lord will take care of it. That's not the statement that you make. Like I said last time, that you're in your mind now, physically, if you can do it, it's beautiful. In front of your store, your kitchen, put it there. The Lord is my shepherd. The scripture we're using, the Lord supplies seed to the sower and what? Bread for food. Put it there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, put it there. The Bible encourages us to put letters. You know, it's not drawing. God is not so much into artwork. It's not so much into carvings and stuff like that. Like I told you, if you put the picture of the saint, all right, there, and the person is a saint, supposed to be helping you, it's going to bring evil spirits into your house. I can assure you of that one. You hear what I said? Some of you think I didn't say it. I said it. You hear what I said? Especially when you draw a halo over his head and put stars around it. That is going to bring demonic spirits. See, I've told you now. Don't worry, you'll soon have a testimony. You will soon have a testimony. You can be arguing with me there. You will soon have a testimony. And some of you already have your testimony, just don't understand it. Some troubles you've been having is that spirit you have injected from that photograph. Let's not sit on that one. Let me sit on the thing I'm trying to say. Put letters. God likes letters. Words. The Lord is my shepherd. It's beautiful. Is that okay? Yeah, put it there. Like I was saying, so there's a statement that will just come out of you without you thinking about it. Now listen to this. It will bring food anytime, even if there's famine outside. There's a reason why Jesus taught us to always give thanks when it's time to eat. Please, always give thanks. No matter how small the food is, give thanks. Now, don't give the thanks as a... That's what they do. Please, give the thanks like you really are grateful. Assuming you are the richest man in Nigeria, you know who that is. Who's doubling his refining capacity now? You know who that is. Uh-huh. And then they serve you just moi moi and pap in the morning, which you know you can buy a refinery full of moi. You can make a million people make moi moi and pap for you in the morning. You know you can do that. I mean, you know you can do that.
Yes.
I told that a man one day, a few years ago, from one of his business, they paid him dividends, 700 and something million dollars. Let me assure you, that can buy all the moi moi made in this country. So you have a lot of it. They serve you only one portion in the morning. And you have all this money that we've been talking about. Plenty of it. Brethren, this is an instruction from heaven. Even if you are in a European restaurant and CNN is looking at you, close your eyes deliberately. Don't be ashamed of him. Very important. Close your eyes. Mutter. If they are close enough, let them hear it. Father, I thank you for this breakfast. You are so... See, look at it with gladness that your heavenly Father served you something. No matter how much money you have, please do that. See, that simple ritual, that is the word. That simple ritual has said a lot. Let me tell you a few things. We'll get into the message I'm trying to preach in a moment. Among the things he has said, or he has done many things. Let me talk about a few things he has done. It has ensured that food will not give you indigestion. It has removed poison from that food. You know, some people are so busy, they analyze all the cholesterol in their food before they eat it. Let me tell you the truth, scriptural truth. That has reduced let me not talk cholesterol, because now we know cholesterol is not a problem. That lie, well, that misinformation was pushed for a very long time, now they've withdrawn it. So whatever it is that's not supposed to be there, it will go down. One man of God said, I think it was Kenekin that said the story. A land, you know, piece of land that had been certified as unfit for construction, people to live there, and so because it was polluted. Prayer was said by the church. They wanted to use the land. And the EPA, American Environmental Protection Agency, came back, tested, they couldn't find the toxins. Before then, the people praying, he had seen and saw a spirit rise up from the earth and float away into the sky. They came back next day, tested, there was nothing inside. Read the most Shakarians, happiest people on earth. His father's flock, and of course, he and his father were in the business together. They tested and they had tuberculosis and they were going to slaughter about 50,000 cows. Yeah, not two, not three. Then the man was watching TV and the preacher was reading, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." That the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to the Lord. Yeah, God was talking. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. So the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. They got the preacher's number and called his office. "Can I talk to the preacher?" "Yes. We heard you say this on television. Do you believe it?" The man said, "Of course I do. Do you think God can take care of cattle on a few enclosures if he has 1,000 hills?" The man said, "Why not? Please, will you come to the farm to pray?" The man said, "Oh, no problem." He came and prayed. Three different enclosures. They went from one farm to the other, three of them. He lifted up his hands and drove away tuberculosis. The government officials came. Please, you know, I have told you guys. I talk about this. People have not read that book till today. Wicked soul. They came, tested next time. Tuberculosis was gone. His head survived. So when you give thanks like that, my brethren, you are doing more than just... Yes, you are showing gratitude. That's true. Okay? But it's more than that. I mean, what happens as a result is more than you can imagine. You know, as a matter of fact, when Jesus was going to multiply food for thousands, what's the first thing he did? What's the only thing he did? He gave thanks. And he began to divide the food. And the dividing did not end until everybody had enough to eat. And that thing is so crucial. You know, but let me read the particular scripture. Let me see whether I can get it quickly. Because you see, John chapter 6. Please, I want you to notice something. From verse 22, I'm going to 23, okay? I just like to read in context. The next day, the crowd that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias. Now, notice where I'm going. There came other boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Maybe some people are not getting what I'm trying to say. That John was careful to tell us the role of thanksgiving in bread multiplication. Did you notice that? He said this was that place. It was near that place where bread came after the Lord had given thanks. If you check my Bible, that area is colored. It's colored because it struck me that he emphasized the fact that giving of thanks was crucial. And everybody noticed, at least the disciples, John and co, that how did he get this done? He said this was where bread was multiplied. Let's summarize it. After the Lord had given thanks. I'm saying it again. No matter who you are, no matter how much material resources you have, you know, there are times, I don't do this all the time, all right, to be honest. With drinking of water, I pause, I look at the water, and I see, I literally thank God that it's available. Are you getting my point? That ritual, I'm telling you, will remove poison from your food. I say this all the time. Every day we are fighting a battle to keep our eyes on the Lord. Are you getting my point? Every day, we are fighting a battle to keep our eyes on the Lord. And please, you must win that battle and keep it. Let me explain. See, I've been saying this again and again and again. The life of the Christian, you know, when you want to argue with people, and I have made that mistake. I've made that mistake a lot of times, all right? See, let me remind us again. This is the way this world is. The more knowledge increases, the more it lays claim, I wanted to say, to the power of God in your life. Do you get my point? One woman I saw the other day, she's 102 years of age, all right? She said, if I make it to be December, she'll be 103 in December. And she walks around, she does her shopping, she has a good sense of humor, she wears high heels. Yeah. She'll use a walking stick though, but she said, no, she has to look nice. You understand what I'm saying? And then when they wanted to explain, I was watching the issue about long life. And they went to, what did they ascribe her long life to? Quickly, they pointed out that her father and mother died at the age of 98. And I think the mother also, the father also, made it to be 101 or 100, something like that. Instantly telling you something. What is it? It's genetic. It's subtle. They've dropped it for you. But those of us who understand, you know what we'll say? There's a blessing upon the family. It's not genes. It's a blessing. It's not genes. It's a blessing. Who knows? I mean, that the Bible makes it clear. That's what? It's a blessing upon the household. Now, this is what happens. People will study the genes. What's the next thing they study? You know. What's it? The diet. And the next thing they do, when they have, of course, exercised the third one, then when they found those things, all right, mostly the genes and the diet, they not carry it and try and, of course, they can't transmit the genes to you. So they try and teach you the diet and the habits, the lifestyle habits. Now, let me not sit down and analyze it now. But, brethren, that is one thing you have to be very careful of. That's why God would tap you while you're studying your diet and the lifestyle, he will bend into the book, look into your face and say, I am God and there's no other. That's the meaning. Please, I need to tell brethren again. No matter how much you do this lifestyle or diet things, you will not live a day long. See, again, please, let me say it. I'm not talking to Muslims. I'm not talking to Hindus. The unbeliever on the street, I don't know about his life. I'm talking to you. You. Chibeze. You. And all the people that believe like you do. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to us. That brethren, do not give the longevity of your life to genes, to diet, to physical exertion. Don't. It's tempting. It's very tempting. It's very tempting. Just refuse. Now, please, when people hear me, I've been misquoted many times. I'm not promoting indulgence. Gluttony is a sin. So I'm not, people, you know, one of the problems I've had as a preacher is people hide behind me to do bad things. The best example is that those who don't want to give, that's when they will read the book in which I said, giving is not the key to prosperity. They will be quoting it. Are they quoting me correctly? Wait, don't answer, I'll answer myself. Are they quoting me correctly? Yes, they are. Except I didn't say stinginess is a sign of godliness. Did I say so? I did not say the Bible did not say, I'm quoting me now. I did not say the Bible did not say God loves a cheerful giver. Did I say so? What did Jesus say? God, Paul was quoting him. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. Is that scripture? Do I quote it? No, answer me. Do I quote it? Do I believe it?
Yes.
Do you think I believe it?
Yes,
then people will go behind and say, Pastor Banky said that giving is not the key to prosperity. So they go to church and the church doesn't see 50 cup of their money. If you quote me, may God slap you and remove two of your teeth. Because you are quoting me wrongly. People go, they hide behind. They just take one statement I made, take it out of context. People have quoted that I said Christians are not supposed to give. So a lot of people who want to do bad things, sometimes they come and hide behind what I'm saying. All right? Good. Now, I was trying to say something when I started saying that. Remind me what I was trying to say. Yes. This man, I think she come and start sitting here. Come, leave that place. Come and sit over here. Because you are beating this man. I mean, this guy. I think I know what your issue is. You are not yet married like people like this. Your baby is not breastfeeding a 2-month-old infant. So you can think only of the things of the Lord. But this way like this, we need to pray them back to focus. So please, I've been, you know, really, people misquote me a lot on things I didn't say. Somebody actually said that Pastor Maggie said that men are not supposed to be nice to their wives. Yeah. Did you hear that? No, really. That Pastor Banky said men are not supposed to be nice to their wives. I said me. I won't pray a bad prayer for you who said that. May God have mercy on you. That's what I will say. May He forgive you and knock your head back into sense to hearing the things that I said. I never said that. I mean, how could I say that? So some wicked people will go and hear that portion now and I say we are going to Kingdom World. They'll not be bragging that we are Pastor Banky followers. Me. See, you know, Jesus Christ has followers like that. Zealots were following Him. Just because He says some things that, this is what we need. But of course, you know, one of His followers was a zealot. Simon the Zealot. You know what they call zealots? Terrorists. Those who are willing to take it by force. If they have to kill somebody, they will kill somebody. Moses was a zealot at the beginning. Until the Lord cooled him down. So please, don't misquote me. If you like to overeat, it's not because of me. If you can't control your appetite, it's not because of me. It's not because of me. Me, the thing that you are saying, food that I can't identify, I don't eat. And I have a small rule. If I'm not hungry, I don't eat. I believe the Lord has helped my stomach to keep me, you know, like, it's been trained with the word of God. Can I use that expression? So I say, eat, and I say, I'm not hungry. But it's nice. I say, I am not hungry. It's a simple rule. My wife has gotten used to it. Before, it's like, at 11 o'clock now, you now say you are hungry. I say, let it get to 11 o'clock. Everybody's eating at 8 o'clock. Hey, bros, let's serve your food now. I say, I'm not hungry. It's a simple rule. I learned it. It has helped me immensely. If I'm not hungry, recently I traveled for a reunion. You know, food was flowing like water. You know, it was flowing everywhere. We went to one of my classmates, his house. He hosted us. They received food everywhere. I was taking pictures of the food. I didn't put it in my mouth. Why? I said, the one we ate earlier in the day has not yet cleared. He finally cleared around 11 o'clock. And I took drinks, you know, simple soft drinks. It's a habit that God has helped me form. So if you want to be a glutton, it's not me you are following. It's not me. You had your bad habit before you got to know me. When they were telling you to elongate your life, you didn't want to believe it. So you finally found an ally in me that said it will not elongate your life. I said, hey, don't elongate my life. That's what Pastor Frankie said. Did I say it won't elongate your life? Yes, I said so. Will it elongate your life? No, it will not. Should you remain a glutton? You know what they call, let no good thing pass me by. There are people like that. You enter a buffet, you must taste everything. Don't worry, you will soon learn. Now, please, I need to clarify that because I have been misquoted again and again. I've even been told that, hey, when you say it like this, people won't know what you are saying. I said, that's their problem. If they won't listen to me fully, Paul has been listened to, as the Bible says, they twisted what he said to their own destruction. Those who preach licentiousness, I hope you know, it's Paul they used. They don't quote Peter. Never. You never see them quote John. They don't quote Jude for what now? Jude is telling you that people are imprisoned in darkness. No, they won't tell you that. They quote Paul. The fact that faith is of the heart. The fact that your righteousness is by faith. The fact that works is not. They will quote Paul. They will never quote James. There was a time, those who didn't understand James, you know what? One man, let me not mention his name, one very prominent father in the faith of many years ago, not modern times. You know what he called James? That book. He said an apostle, he said an epistle of straw. Yeah. At a point in time, I can say it's a public figure, so it's not an issue. Martin Luther, that's what he said. He didn't read James for what? He said epistle made of straw. Maybe he changed his mind later. I think he changed his mind later. But it's only because, you know, James emphasized works. And he was trying to pull back from the works, the indulgences that the church was selling, how they used to crawl on their knees to make atonement for their sins. So when they saw James allude to anything like works, he said the epistle of straw. I don't know what I finally go back to reading. Of course, if you misunderstand James, you will say that. Where I'm going is that people use Paul to twist the truth. Meanwhile, if you bother to read Paul, Paul will tell you he was called to preach repentance. To Paul, repentance and faith were the same thing. Like somebody said, no matter how thin you slice bread, it will always have two sides. Anything you slice, keep on slicing it thinner and thinner and thinner, it will still have two sides. Faith has two sides. One side is what we call faith. The second side is what we call repentance. Works propelled by faith. And if that other side is not there, it's fake. It's like me giving you a 1,000 naira note. Check the other side. It's plain. No matter how authentic one side is, you see the picture, you see the logo, you turn the other side, it's plain paper. It's fake currency. You know that. Please, I just want to emphasize that again, okay? Now, can I get back to what I was saying? What were you saying? I know, but I just want to see how much you're helping me. I remember very well. I'm testing you now. You don't even know where it went off. Huh? He says anointing has disappeared. Okay. Now, I'm just trying to say, all right? I know what I was saying. So, I'm talking about food. You know what I'm saying? When you're looking at all of those things, God will bend down, look at you in the face, and say, I'm God and there is none else. Your diet is not going to elongate your life. In fact, the animosity, all right? The lack of love, let me use the word, that you have towards other brethren is more toxic to your longevity than the bad food you are eating. You know what I said? Yes. If you eat all your food alone, you will die quicker than the person who overeats but shares. Assuming you are very slim, you exercise, according to the modern words, you are jacked. You know what they call jacked? Some people don't know the meaning. A man is jacked, that is, his muscles are well toned, its fat level on it is slim. But you eat all your food alone, in a dark room in your house with grumbling in your soul, not giving the Lord thanks. There's a guy who's overweight, rolling around the street. But anytime he buys our money, he buys 10 wraps, he eats 2, and he sits down with about 6 other people, and they all eat together, and they laugh, and they worship the Lord. That guy will live 100 years. If you make it to be 35, God showed you extra mercy. That you that's jacked up, you are jacked. I mean, you're very slim, you exercise very well. A merry heart, you know what the Bible says? What does it do? He said, it doeth good, using King James. Very poetic in King James. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Please, what am I trying to say? There's a struggle we are involved in every day. That's what I'm saying. The struggle is to recognize who is God. Please, when we say God, get what I'm saying. Education is good. There are those who want to prosper in life. If I don't get that BSc, MSc, and a PhD, prosperity will not come. While they are studying the library, God will tap. One guy will just come beside them, sit down, and say, the Lord, he is God. And he will go away. You know what he's trying to say? She and this library, studying something you don't know, you don't believe in, you don't know the impact in the world or in your destiny. You don't know how you are going to use it to influence anybody. But we give you a doctorate of philosophy. That's what you want. Could be in engineering, could be in theology, could be in history, could be in law. But you've seen it. As you sit down in that library, you are gathering your data, everything. A man will sit down and tell you he is God and there is none else. You know, he knows what you are looking for. He knows the bowing down to Baal that you are doing in studying book. It's academic work I'm talking about. And the Lord wants to tell you, just wake up one morning, you're here, I am God and there is none else. Which means, where is it that you want to go? Let's discuss it. You can't plot your way to that place. Let me say it again. A struggle we have every day in this life is to know who is God. You know, I was talking to somebody today. He does some work for me. All right? So I said, okay, when will you finish my job? And all of that. He said, oh God, please, can we make it next week? Why next week? You know, that kind of discussion. I was in his workshop. So he said that, please. He said, one of my age mates in the village died. So I just jokingly, not really joking, just in lamentation, let me say, not joke. I said, why can't these people take their turn? Because this guy is young, probably be late 30s. I'll put his age around that late 30s. He said, oh God, one of my age mates died. He said, the guy in my age, you know, the age group in the village, so he has to go receive the body they are going to bury sometime this week. So please, I should pardon him. He will not be available to work. So that's why we're not talking about it. I said, people should just take their turn in this dying matter. I mean, allow those who are 90-something to go first. You get my point? Before you that's 36, you just go and say, the guy didn't do it. He just came back home from something, then he just sat down. Okay, yeah. He came home, sat down, and asked for food. You understand? So while his wife was getting his food ready, they came and discovered he was dead. That where he was seated. So that's what I started discussing. Now, you see why I'm telling the story. So we're not lamenting about this, how death. I was not telling that, look, that's why it's good to pray, you know, get ready. No, just saying some faith, you know, related things. And after the story, I said, a classmate of mine, that's how he also died some years ago. Now, the point I was trying to make is that it's not reserved for any group of persons, so that this one is a doctor. He was in a clinic working in North America. And then he collapsed there and died. He now said, where? Not before Nigeria. I said, no, not Nigeria. Now that's where I'm going. He visited the alarm in his face. Not America. I said, yes. He said, okay, not Nigeria. I look at it. You think people only fall down and die in Nigeria? Then I mentioned on that person that I knew that he sat down. I said, he lives in hospital premises. Just finished praying with the family in the morning. Then he fell down. And he lives in the hospital premises. I said, so getting him to the emergency was just a matter of minutes. I said, but they got there only to say that he's dead. And he's a doctor too. The guy looked and said, okay. That first one, he said, not in Nigeria. I said, no. So you think it's only in Nigeria? Well, because your friend died suddenly in Nigeria and they told you that Nigeria happened to him. If you see the shock in his face, when I told you that this guy died in North America, he thought people come for, that no, that they go wake you up now. That was the thought he had in mind, that people just dying like this because they are in Nigeria. I said, no. There are people who say, when you, I've heard it before, when to get there, at least you're able to, I looked at the people, I said, God will have to tap you one day, look you in the face, just block your face. I am God and there is none else. It's fight we fight every day. The world every day is trying to tell us that they are, or that they've discovered God. The research is extensive, trying to prove that. In fact, one day Bill Gates was talking, they believe that now that, is it 50 years or 100 years, people will be living up to be 200. I've forgotten what they said. What, because of the medical advances and all of that, I was laughing. I said, you don't know what they call death. That is not the lack of medical advances. Death is a spirit. It's a spirit. That's what they call. I heard the recruits teach something. There are different ways they die. Human beings die. There's death by famine. Let's talk about the bad ones. There's death by disease, all right? There's famine. There's death by sword. You know, sword, like modern days, gunshot, you know, bomb blast, grenades, and all of that. There's death by sword, death by famine, death by disease. There's one he now said, there's death by death. I don't have time. I can't look for the scripture. I saw in Revelation that people die. One of the ways they die is by death. You just wake up in the morning. Nothing's wrong with the fellow, then he dies. Derek Prince said, that's what it's called, death by, there's a principle called death. It's not by sickness, not by famine. No, not that this person starved to death. He wasn't murdered. He wasn't shot, not sword, but death. You think the people of Egypt went home one night and everybody was sick. And they woke up next day, they found that the firstborns were dead. No, they all went to sleep. Everybody was healthy. They woke up in the morning. The angel of death struck each one that he wanted to strike as commanded by the Lord, and they died. God said, I saw in your blood, and I said what? Leave. Let me explain what that means. If God says to somebody, leave, an atomic bomb detonated 50 feet above your head will not be able to kill you. If you're in the center of a nuclear reactor, you will not be able to die. You're not getting my point. If God says to you, leave. If God says to you, leave, you will not be, see, you will beg for death. You won't be able to find it. You know, there's some people, they want to commit suicide. I won't tell you, sorry, some people will not go and listen to me and think they learned from me. There's some people, they want to commit suicide. There's a particular medicine they go and take. They will take plenty of it. Sure that this one, no, man will die. The medicine will send them into sleep. When they wake up, they recognize the bed sheet. They know it's not heaven. They could have been asleep for the last 2 days. Usually when they carry them to hospital, the doctor will just check this one. Leave him there. Check the vital signs. Check how he's breathing. Say, don't worry. He may be asleep for like 48 hours more. Don't worry. He'll be fine. So they wake up all of a sudden. I'm not dead. He said, no, you're in hospital. When do you want to go home? Yeah, but I won't tell you which drug, so that in case you want to die, you won't go and buy another one. It's good when people take that kind of drug, so it will catch them. Right, it's very available. People buy, just go and buy when nobody's looking. You take plenty of it. Now only sleep you go achieve. 48 hours, 72 hours sleep. You'll get the sleep. When you wake up, you'll have been so rested, all the stress in your body. What am I saying? There are people who want to die. If God says to you, leave, you will want that death, you won't find it. I've heard the story of people shot point blank. The bullet goes off. The gun goes off. Then later on they say they missed. No, they didn't miss. How will you explain that somebody shot point blank? He's still alive. And he's testifying about how he pulled a gun to his head. His or her head. This is a woman I'm thinking of now. Her son shot her actually. The boy was very angry with her. They were eating. He pulled a gun, pointed at her, dead in the face, across the table, fired. It went off. The woman didn't die. She did not die. She was not even injured. Seriously, maybe one scratch in the skin somewhere. What would we assume? He missed. He did not miss. It's God that said no. What is the struggle every day? The words. Now, listen, let me say this again. If they get your attention, you will sink. Did you hear what I said? If they get your attention, you will sink. If they get your attention, you will sink. told the story the other day. We were just talking about people. Look, please, again, I'm talking to Christians. Please, don't come arguing with me if you are not a Bible, no. A committed disciple of Christ Jesus. They are the ones I'm preaching to. They're the ones I'm preaching to. I'm not afraid. I'm not telling you statistics. I'm telling you what your life is, that your life is planned by the Lord. And one thing he keeps on trying to get your attention concerning is who is God. Every time he's listen to me, is the desire of his heart. Don't lose focus on who is God. That day, I was going to tell you about a discussion I was having with some people. And no, this is a matter of fact, just to tell you general principles about life, talking about this health matter. There's one person I heard of recently, I don't know whether it's a man or a woman, goes for checks regularly every 6 months. Then one day the fellow fell ill, had the last checkup complete. This time around, he or she was checked, can't remember who now. That is a man or a woman. But let's make it long story, he had stage 4 cancer. Now, you hear what I said? Now, cancer comes generally 4 stages. Stage 1 is the earliest, the one we are hoping you detect it in. There are some other parameters we use, but let's just leave that. To make it easy, 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 is the last stage. No treatment, spread all over, you can't do anything. 1 is the one that you hope you will catch most patients in which you can still treat. And if you get it in 1, most people will be, in fact, a lot will even be technically cured. So that's why they keep on telling you, go and check, hoping that we'll catch it in stage 1. This fellow was one of those who checked regularly. Then one day he took ill. The last check was properly done. This time around, he said, you are not feeling well. Okay, check this. By the time they finished their test, this individual had stage 4 cancer. We have a name for it, medical science. It's called interval cancers. That is the ones that develop between the last check and the next one. This guy had stage 4. You know why? It's a spirit. People are trying to know the ways of the spirit. You can't know the way of the spirit. It's a spirit. A spirit just went into him and that's it, gave him something. I was discussing it. You know, we had one of this discussion with some people. One of our brothers, Natum, said, remember that my brother that I told you that needed to have kidney transplant? Kidney shut down completely. I said, yes. He said, oh, he checks himself very regularly. Does not mix the medical checkup. His medical checkups, he doesn't miss them. Then one day he took ill. And they went and checked him and found that both kidneys were dead. None was working. So the family had to now arrange for him to have a kidney transplant. And I was now discussing, just like I'm sharing with you now, in the office with some doctors. And one young doctor, the very brilliant guy, I gave him a hand that day. I said, this guy, you are so brilliant. I explained, he said, oh, guy, you can see what happened now. I said, what do you mean what happened? He said, you've just described a very, now listen to this. You've just described a very health-conscious person. Say, this is a type that will take supplements and things that the body will react to and it will kill the kidneys. I said, my God, this guy, you are too brilliant. I warned all of you, if they give you a supplement and you swallow it, you are not serious. That means... One brother, the pastor, said they said something was wrong. And he now sent to me, said they prescribed some supplements. I said, I forbid you in the name of, I'm telling you, I don't use that name jokingly. I said, I forbid you in the name of the Lord from taking it. He's a man of God. He's a pastor. I said, because I needed him to take, because a lot of them just say, they take your words for advice. So that they can reject. I said, I forbid you in the name of the Lord from taking that thing. Send me his test results. I said, listen, my friend. He said, okay, do you want to look at it? I said, let me see your test results. I said, there's nothing inside this test result now that the fact that you didn't drink water properly for 2 days cannot explain. I don't have time to go into it. And me, I'm God help me with that. I took it, nobody, maybe it's my opinion. I followed it to one of my friends who's a very good clinician. I said, look at this for me. What do you think? He said, tell the guy to drink water. I said, thank you. That's what I told him already. That day, he said, sir, God, in fact, let me be honest with you. Afterwards, I got an alert. Pim, he sent me money. Yeah, he did. He sent me, oh God, please, I just want to say thank you. I told him, I forbid you. I was so angry. I didn't want to ask him, are you sure that person is really a doctor? Was one charlatan that's hiding somewhere wearing white coat. A lot of people wear white coat.
That day I was like, what? That young doctor that day, he said to me, he said, sir, look at it. He said, you just described a very health conscious individual for me. He said, he's the type that probably they've told him that use this root, it boosts the immune system. Use this one, it cleanses, you know, have you heard that before? Detoxifying the body. It's a massive scam. If you ever heard the word detoxifying the body, it's a scam. Especially when they bring equipment to you where you are sitting down, put your leg here, put one hand here. You're not they detoxify. Just, no, see, such people, you should get police for them because you see, they are insulting your intelligence. It's an insult to your intelligence. Some of them were scam. Some of them will actually give you something to be taken. Then give you small diuretics, something that makes you urinate a lot. Tell you to be drinking a lot of water. When you go and pee, you see, it will be colored one kind. They said there's the impurity they are removing from your body. It's a lie. They give you something that changes color when it hits the system. Oh God, I keep on getting to this place and getting stuck. Because a lot of people are just stuck on bad things. I've told you, brethren, please, it doesn't concern if you are not a Pastor Banky student. Go away, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those who listen to me teach the word of God. If anybody comes to you, you are not sick. He said, get better. Did you hear what I said? You are not sick. Then he tells you, get better, and he gives something to swallow. I forbid you, don't take it. Stop treating a healthy person. One man had it written on his tombstone. He said, I was well. I wanted to get better. Look at me now. He was dead. You know, they wrote it on his gravestone. I was well. I wanted to get better. Look at me now. You know, every time I say this, it's amazing there are still people to listen to me. I thought you people by now would be buzzing. Pastor, you've said it before. Go. We heard you. There are people who are still listening. They still need to hear it. You said they are listening. Brethren, that young man that they told me, he said, sir, if you describe him, I told you I read the story of a man, European, not Nigerian. You know, if he's not, this is all over the world. They scam people worldwide. When you go to China, Chinese people are selling African herbs to get well. You get to America, they are selling Chinese herbs to get well. You come to Nigeria, they are selling American herbs to get well. You know, we have to make it look exotic. It has to look like he came from far. This guy is a European. I know what I'm telling you. You know, one man, traditional doctor, I listened to him once when I was in Lagos. He said, no, that his own herbs don't come from Lagos. Oh. That Lagos herbs, they are too close to the ocean, so they don't work. That he gets his own herbs from inside, you know. He goes to Ondo State, you know, goes to Ekiti. That he can't be used. If you use herbs from Lagos, the salt in the ocean, I look at it, I say, and people believe this guy. In case you don't know, naturally speaking, the foods grown closer to the ocean, they are healthier. Do you know why? The sea salt, like if you live near the shore, you can never have iodine deficiency. It's found in those who live on high mountains, before this is of iodizing salt that we normally use. But that's a small aside. Telling you, this man sat down and he ordered herbs online, products online to tone his system, to detoxify a white man, European, to firm up his immune system, to blunt his blood, to cleanse his blood vessels. He took them, now listen to this, when he was writing this, they had transplanted a new liver for him because the other liver that God gave him had died. And they were waiting for him to get a kidney transplant. That was at that time he was on dialysis. His liver failed. Those things he was swallowing, they were so toxic. They killed his liver. And as a result, following up on that damage to the liver, the two kidneys packed up. So the doctors had, getting a liver transplant is easier for certain reasons, okay? They had given him a liver transplant. Now waiting for kidney. That was when he wrote the article. Say, brethren, see me. Not brethren, I was just a normal person. Say, me, now see me. I was well. I wanted to get better. Look at me now. Please let me beg. I know you're listening to me. You're out there. Eat your food with thanksgiving. Some of you are you are disciples of mine, you are selling supplements. I think you're a wicked person. One or two things. Either you are ignorant or you're wicked. Most of you, and I know you won't like what I'm saying, but it's yourself to say it. Because people are making money on nothing. When my salary in a month was not up to 20,000, a woman said I should come and buy a bottle of aloe vera juice for 2,000 naira. And the money, just take two spoons, just cleanse your system. You know what that thing that means? So if I gave you that money, you would take it. You're a wicked soul. You're a very wicked soul. That your wickedness is bad. You have no proof it works. The only thing that's motivating you is your commission on sales. Don't do that to somebody's health. It's not right. Please go and sell food that we really eat. Gary, I've told you, the closest thing to manna that God gave us is what? See, that guy is giving the Lord a wiper on that statement. Sell it, we'll buy. You'll make profit. Sell us rice. Sell us fresh veggies. But please, stop selling things that are expensive that we don't need. Get another business. God will bless you. But I will not sanction your business just because you are making money from it. No. There are other things to sell. There are real medicines that people will need. Oh, you are not a pharmacist, so let me not send you in that direction. Get another business. You are doing that only because it makes money. One young woman stopped me one day. She wanted to talk to me. What is it? I said, supplement. I said, wait. You chose the wrong person. He said, why, sir? I said, wouldn't it be silly if you... This girl looked like she was something between 18 and 22. If you sold me medicine and I bought, don't think God should punish me? I said, okay, I know this job more than you do. I qualify as a doctor before your father married your mother. And that's not exaggerating. I've been a doctor for 34 years. Some people think I'm kidding. No, I graduated from University of Benin in 1991. I said, so you will sell me medicine if I buy? I should be arrested. I should be tried. For what's the crime? Stupidity. Public nuisance. Do you care what I'm saying? Brother, anytime I get in, I get stopped. It's never my plan to stay here. But I think I just have to keep helping people. Eat your food with thanksgiving. Like I'm telling you. Eat good food. Rich food. Variety. And be happy while you are eating it. Don't grumble. No matter how rich your food is, if it starts with, what's wrong with this plate? You have lost all the nutrients inside. I told them in this house, I'm richer than this. I can't be eating with plastic. See, I soak my garri with plastic. There's one green plastic cup in my house. I like it. I don't use it often because it's not big enough for the full dose, but you know, when you have to use the pediatric dose, it works. Most times I drink water from plastic cups. Say, why? Because they are big. The glass ones are generally small. Have you noticed? Yes. So I have to go like four times before I can gauge. And I'm one of those that drink water even before I start eating. I finish half a liter. And there are those who just like that. I said, one day, relative of mine was eating. So this is not the plate my mates used to eat. I got up and walked away. I was too angry. They gave you food. You are eating. They said, your mates. Have you not seen politicians eating corn by the roadside and sucking on pure water? Brethren, give thanks. Be grateful. They give you rice, doesn't have meat. Eat the rice first. The meat will come later. Eat it first. You know, there's this habit we grew up with. If you swallow, it doesn't have protein. You are waiting. Who said it must go? Eat your food. Let me not teach you that. But the point I'm making is be happy. Yes, be grateful. That is more than all the nutrients that naturally can be inside food. That gratitude, that eating in peace is the reason why you eat deficient food for 10 days. You will appear better than those who have been eating rich food. People have said that, what happened? This is what I'm talking about. Daniel now. Yes. Daniel and Co. They say they will not defy themselves. People say, it's because, that thing was not natural. Please, let's not stay there now. It was not natural. It was a spiritual manifestation. Sometimes people think that those were stupid. By the time the king said, go and train my best men, they had done research for years. They knew the best diet to sharpen the brain. Those guys were not idiots. You won't be an idiot conquering kingdoms all over the place and building empires. Is this not Babylon the Great, which I by myself built with the strength of my might for the glory of my majesty? A man doesn't say that when he's a stupid man like that. They had, see, they knew how to select the best amongst the Jews. They knew diet, my friend. They knew what they were saying. So when Daniel said, let us eat our vegetables, it was not a natural thing. You know what they call vegetarians? Why are you looking like you don't know? Those who don't eat meat. See, fact is that they are unhealthy people. You know, people don't realize that. Is they don't eat meat, they don't eat egg, they don't eat other things. They generally are nutrient deficient. Don't make it look like they were not just eating vegetables. When those boys in 10 days, and even if their diet was good, is it in 10 days usual? Is it in 10 days? What am I trying to say? It was a spiritual manifestation. The Bible says they looked to him and were lightened. My Bible says, or were radiant. And their faces were no longer ashamed. There was a way in their consecration they went to pray. When those men came last time, what they saw was glory upon those men. It wasn't diet. It was not natural diet. It was that they said, no, these are defiled goods, things sacrificed to idols, things that they have to make certain signs upon. And these men were consecrated people. We are the holy people of God. We can't eat such things. And when they took actions like that, that's what we call righteousness. That's what we call faith. Because God provoked something in them. When this guy came next time, what they were saying was the glory of God. You think the fourth man was sitting, meeting them for the first time in the fire? He had been with them all this while. There are times he shields them from heat. Other times, he blows the glory of God upon them. When a man sees them, say, oh my God, these guys are looking better. You think it was natural better? It was not natural better. Please, I hope you are getting my point. So sanctify your food. That's what the Bible calls it. It's sanctified with thanksgiving and prayer. Sanctify it. Your health is not in your diet. All of this is, I'm God and there's none else. Sanctify your food. Eat your food with gladness. Eat it with gratitude. And let the power of God make you strong. Let the power of God make you healthy. Let the power of God rejuvenate your bones. Let the power of God help you. That's what I'm saying. Let me tell you, as a Christian, if you turn any other thing to the source of life, I want to say life now, prosperity, health, long life, fertility, whatever it is, God has to fight it. God has to fight it. You know, sometimes you young couples, they go and teach them, is it calendar, how to time ovulation. God, you're looking at you, see? You know why that means laughing? Say, Pastor, I tried it, it did not work. Say, Pastor, it did not work. You know why it didn't work in your case? It's because you're a preacher. Because you will counsel people and mislead them. He said, you will counsel people and mislead them. So I spoil it for you. Any natural thing you can give testimony concerning, God has to spoil it. He has to spoil it. He said, angels, come on. He said, look at that man. He wants to go and preach a lie now. He said, what is he doing? He said, he's timing ovulation. He said, okay. Those guys, spoil things for him. Just wreck everything. Let me just say more than that because children are listening. But when he least expects, after worshiping, when they said nothing can happen, that's when the Lord will now make it happen, that all the glory might be given to him. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yes, see, if you want to do things that these are not the word of God, don't plan to testify. Do you follow my point? Yes, sir. Don't plan to testify, because that is the one God will not accept. Especially when you're a senior bro in church. I've spoken plenty. Yeah, more than I realize. Now, there's something I want to remind us of. That's why, let me start with this message, all right? All of this is, there's something I want to remind us of, okay? Please, it's something I've said here again and again, but I've not said it in a while. Who is the one that's talked about the most in the scriptures? Who is the person? One person talked about the most in the scriptures. God. Thank you. Go to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, Open your Bible. Let's read it together. I think it's good. Let me not even assume. Occasionally, I get to this point, and that's what I've been doing for some time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to reestablish the praises of God in the mouth of His children constantly. I've been saying, see, the world is struggling every day to replace it. And you have a struggle to keep focus. That's why I went to the health matter. There is no way to be healthy. Every other thing, Jesus calls the worry. Genesis chapter 1, quickly. I want us to just count a few. Verse 1. Who will count for us? This one that you say your anointing has vanished because of this place you are sitting now. Who will count for us? Elijah. Count. In the beginning, what? God. All right, right. That's one. Verse 2. And darkness was, and the earth was formless and void. Darkness upon the surface of the deep. And the spirit of who? God. Two. That's in verse 2. Then God said, that's verse 3. Verse 4. God saw. And God separated. That's in 4 verses. Number 6, number 5. God called. And then number verse 6. Then God said. Verse 7. God made the earth. And verse 8. God called. Verse 9. Then God said. I'm just counting. Verse 10. God called it. And he, garden of the waters, he. Who? He? God. What is that? 12. And God saw, what is that? 13. We are still in verse 10. His name has been mentioned 13 times. His person has been referred to 13 times. Verse 11. Then God said, 14. Verse 12. After that, and God saw it was good. 15. There was even a moment then, verse 14. Now, please, let me just stop here. You will see in 13 verses, the first 13 verses of the Bible, God had been referred to 15 times. 15 times. I could continue counting. You could continue counting. Because of time, we're just stopping here. You will see that in that first chapter, His name will have appeared more than 40 times. In that first chapter of 31 verses, you probably have seen His name or referring to Him 14 times. 40 times, I wanted to say. In just 31 verses. You see that God saw, God made. And it, like now, in verse 27, God created man in His. What is that? Two. God, His own image. And in the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. In one verse, He was referred to 5 times. Verse 27. 5 times. I will sit down and do this full count in first chapter. At least we got 15 in 11 verses or so. In your life, how often do you talk about Him? That's what I'm trying to say. That's my actually the message I came with today. How often? Look at that verse 27, the one I just referred to now. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. What I'm saying is that everything was about God. But when you want to analyze the crisis in Benue State, you talk about Bola Tinubu. You talk about APC. You talk about PDP, the remnant of PDP government. You talk about the headsmen. You talk about the tribes. You talk. Brother, let me tell you words you're supposed to use. Time will not allow us to go through the scriptures. Things that in the Bible say, please, brethren, do you know God accepts responsibility for what you and I call bad? Did you hear what I said? What did I say? God accepts responsibility for what you and I call bad. We like to give it to the devil. Like a woman was said to have testified in church. She said, the devil has been after me this whole week. Praise His holy name. Did you get that? And I woke up in the morning, the car did not start. Then I was going to work, the tire went down. And then when I was coming, they did not pay salaries on time. Then I bought egg in the market, it fell and it broke. The devil has been after me this whole week. Praise his holy name. Whose holy name now? Because you told a story. In fact, like one pastor, those days in Winners used to do. When people come and give testimony, and then the devil came. Then Satan came. The brother will take the mic and say, what happened when God came? Yeah. Those when I was in Lagos, you go there. People, oh my God, we talk so much about the devil. Do you know, you read your Bible. Let's start with the law and the prophets and the Psalms. Directly or indirectly, I don't think Satan was referred to. Okay, let me just give a big estimate. Even though I'm very wrong, he was not referred to more than 25 times. I know that's big. Because we have to count Genesis. That's chapter 3. Do you understand? We have to count Job. No, his name appeared a number of times in Job. Then when he talked about David. Yes. Uh-huh. So that's why I just gave it 25. The Lord, the prophet, the Psalms. Even if we want to push you, you know how to see in between. Give you 50. 50 is not a lot, though. But we have established that in Genesis chapter 1 alone, God's name showed up more times than the devil's name shows up in the whole of Genesis to Malachi. In Genesis chapter 1 alone, God shows up more times than the devil showed up from Genesis all the way to Malachi. Ask yourself in your life, just think about the story of your life. Who have you been talking about? I think the Lord's name should show up in your conversation more than your wife's name. Did I touch you just now? Okay, just Google Mary. Because I went. I mean, when I should be touching people like Judah over there. Eh? See, I'm being honest. I'm not holier than thou in that area. Eh? I think maybe I talk more about my children's mother as my wife. I'm not sure. Because they drop God's name. It's a habit. If the Lord permits. No. My husband, when are you coming back? The Lord willing, by tomorrow. No, God blessing the journey. But it's deliberate. I do that too. So I think I mentioned God's name more than my wife's name. Yes, I think so. Father God, to you be the glory. The way you're looking at me, go and repent. He needs to repent. Brethren, I've been talking about faith. How we boost faith? It's not when you need faith, suddenly, I believe. No, what have you been saying? What have you been saying? Brethren, you have to learn how to insert it. Now, please get my point. Let me say this again. We're not doing it to make him happy. We are doing it so we can tell the truth. Do you get my point? Like every time I breathe in, I take oxygen. The air I breathe in is 21% oxygen. I'm not doing it to make oxygen happy. I'm not doing it to make oxygen happy. Every time I inhale, 21% of the air that enters my lungs is oxygen. I'm not doing it to make oxygen happy. Why we have not been saturated with divine power is that when we inhale, when we talk, when our ears hear words from our own mouth, the oxygen level is not enough. No, it's not enough. It's not enough. What the devil is doing right now, eh? What the devil, what the witches are doing? Listen, again, I'm not talking to average people. Because people have been accused before that I don't know African witches. I'm telling you. People have said, some other. I was preaching on radio one day. World versus world. You know the kind of thing I will preach about witches. One man called in. Some mother-in-laws are witches. I knew that his mother-in-law had showed him pepper. You should know. But you know what I found out? He's the one telling the story. If you go and ask that poor woman now, the kind of evil spirit this guy is, you know the mother-in-law is an angel to have tolerated him this far. But anyway, the point he was trying to make is that, no, I shouldn't try and downplay the power of witches. Brethren, let me downplay it because that's where it belongs. Yes, sir. And if you're a preacher, I hope you are listening to me. You're organizing program. Your program shouldn't be End to Witchcraft Port. The name of Jesus is not in that program. Our next teaching program in Oka, you know the title. I didn't even think about it. I just said, hope in the Lord. In bracket, the God who does not fail. One sentence, his name appeared twice. You will never see witches in my poster. God forbid bad thing. Lie, lie. Even if I was planning to kill them, I won't advertise them. I will just say the Lord of victory. The overcomer's life. The power of Christ. Brethren, what are we talking about? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm trying to say. What do you talk about all the time? Israel was taught by God that even somebody is throwing stones and he hits another person in the head and the person dies. The Bible will say that the Lord gave him into his hands. Somebody fires an arrow without having anybody in mind and he hits somebody. You know, even if he had anything in mind and the man died, they will say the Lord gave him into his hands. Israel will lose a war. I was reading Joshua, was it this morning? And it was still striking me that they went to fight. 36 people, I think, were killed while Israel ran away. And Joshua fell down before the Lord to ask why he gave them into the hands of the enemy. Many of us think they killed all the Israelites. No, there were 3,000 thereabouts that went for that war. 36 were killed. And Joshua saw it as a national tragedy. Of course, they understood. No, go and read that story again. It's very beautiful. Because now you've seen those. Have you ever heard this argument that the Red Sea did not part? That the water just went down? It was a season. And it's not the Red Sea, it's the Reed Sea. It's not the Red Sea, it's the Sea of Reeds. And there are times that the tide goes down and the people could not pass through at that time and all of that. And like one man said, that's very nice. That kind of shallow water, just 1 foot deep, was able to bury all the Egyptian soldiers. That's even a greater miracle than we realized. But what I'm talking about, I was reading my Bible. And I realized when they got to Jericho, Rahab said, we have heard of how God helped you people pass through the Red Sea as on dry land. So you are here 4,000 years after telling me it did not happen. Those who were there that time say, oh boy, we heard that now our hearts have failed us. Our warriors are no longer able to fight. And listen, do you know how they got to the plains of Jericho? Joshua said, no, God told Joshua, and now I'm going to exalt you in the eyes of the people. He now told them what to do. Of course, you know the story. He told the priest to carry the ark, enter into the water, and once the people should just wait behind by like 1.5 kilometers thereabout and be watching in front so as to know where the priests are going. And when the priests enter the water will stop flowing. After the priest, the water will go down. Before them, it will heap up. An invisible dam was created. You know why I'm telling the whole story? The Jericho people saw it. The people around saw these things happen. And they became afraid. They were afraid. They were seriously afraid. So that was when they went to Ai to go and fight. Did I say Jericho earlier? Yes. Eh? It was a mistake. I wanted to say Ai. Not when I was talking about when they killed 3,000 people. It was in Ai. I said Ai, right? Okay, good. So, they have seen all of these things happen. They saw how the wall of Jericho went down. So, they heard the story of the Red Sea. They saw, not heard, they saw, personally witnessed the story of the Jordan. They saw the wall of Jericho go down. Why those people were doing juju? You know what they call juju? You know what they call juju? Do you know what they call juju? See, what Joshua and Co. did, to the eyes of the heathen, it was juju. They were walking around and blowing horn. There were people blowing the horn. Some priests were blowing the horn and they were carrying their, whatever god they were serving, they were carrying around. And they moved around and they were chanting the horn. Horn. The horn was blowing. Then on the seventh day, they blew the horn and Joshua said, shout. And they shouted and the wall went down. Brethren, that's why everybody was afraid. That's why they were locking their gates against. They were not interested in fighting the Israelites. Why I'm saying all of this is that in the midst of all of this, the Israelites were so used to victory. Waiting. Everybody ran away from them. If it were you, you wouldn't run away from them. You would run. Then they now went to battle. And so they just sent only 3,000 people. And then suddenly, those guys got boldness from nowhere. Fought back. Israel was terrified. That was the major issue. And they ran. And less than 40 people were killed out of 3,000 soldiers. Yet, what did my guy do? Joshua. He fell down and asked God why he gave them into the hands of the enemies. Why is it that Israel is now running from the enemies? That God, there has to be a problem. He put God in everything. If it is us, you get home, food is not complete. That's the problem in this country. Nigeria has happened to you. Somebody's food, money, salary, cannot even spread over 1 month again. How much is rice now? Okay, although I heard that rice price has, it don't have since a year ago. Is it true? Now, nobody talking about it, they go keep quiet. If that thing went up now, it would be in the news every day. I was telling him yesterday, I said, how come we're not hearing about that? Why should we hear about it? Is it good news? And sorry, is it selling news? It's not selling news now. But if it doubled in price, we will tell you. And that's just the world for you. They say, how much is food now? It's not good. And then, brethren, I'm telling you something here. And you see, you have commented on your whole life. You've not talked about God. You had malaria. You've not talked about God. You had diarrhea. You've not talked about God. This headache has been banging your head. You've been rebuking Satan. The name God has not showed up once. Apart from when you want to use your juju. In Jesus' name. You're not calling his name. You are trying to drive out devil. They stole your money. You invested money and let me not mention any investment platform now. You went to one investment platform and you are abusing the people. Say, Mavrodi, give me my money. No, let me tell you. If you lost money to Mavrodi, in your case, it's not Mavrodi that took your money. It's God that gave him. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
so when people say that, did you lose money in MMM? I said, the Lord took my money through MMM. I know what I'm saying. I was trying to prosper outside the Lord. And listen, these are the words believers are supposed to use. And it caused me to fail. Say, God, no, he does. He's not ashamed of it. Say, the Lord gave you. No, he gave me that 500,000 naira. Then he took it when I foolishly gave it to MMM. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are talking about how you behave like an idiot, invested money, and he lost it. You know that's what we are talking about. But you have made mentioned the Lord's name 3 times. And the Lord gave me 500,000 naira. I did not acknowledge him. That's another one. When I wanted to invest it. I wanted to prosper outside him. That's the third time you're mentioning his name. And he took it through MMM. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 5 times you've mentioned his name. And now you lost money. Brethren, that's how to prosper. What did I say? That is how to prosper. That is how, I know what I'm telling you. See, when you talk, brethren, get my point. When you talk like this all the time, it's called acknowledging his name. When you talk like this all the time, faith will be boosted in your heart. You're a businessman, one day, an investment, you're supposed to make an investment. And you look at the total amount of money you need is at least 600 million naira and really 500,000 US dollars at the same time. But you've been talking the way I've been describing now for the last few years. That's the only way you spoke. Brethren, when you get on your knees, before you rise up, you get a phone call. I know what I'm telling you. God will literally mobilize. See, faith is I've been talking about. It's a substance in your heart. You see, open your Bible again. Let's go back to where we were. Please go back there. Psalm 91. Which verse? Verse 14. He said, because he loves me, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he does what? He acknowledges my name. I'm using NIV now. He said, now, what's the next verse? What's the next verse? Verse 15. Read it for me. I didn't hear you. Why are you murmuring? Want to? Let's go. Stop there. I like the way you say, wow. You finally got it. Many people want to call upon him for him to answer. Meanwhile, all they've been talking about is APC. You call on APC, Bola, no, if you call upon him, Bola Tinubu will answer. Reverend, is that not so? Is the person you've been talking about that should answer?
Yes, sir.
Some people are calling upon the Lord, the devil answering them. The devil has been after me for this whole week. Bless his holy name. What? Who else will answer? Who else will answer you? Who else will answer you? But if you have trouble, you call his name. You acknowledge his name. You suffer loss. Most of the time, what we do is that we ascribe our loss to the devil. We don't ascribe the loss to God. Meanwhile, he's not ashamed to accept the responsibility. Physically speaking, who took from Job? No, physically, that is when you analyze it, the devil. But look at it properly. Who took from him? The Lord. Job said it. You know, Job, you know, say maybe he did not know. I don't know whether he knew or not. But Job at least had revelation to know who to ascribe his loss to. God does not only give, he takes. Sometimes he takes because of judgment for iniquity. Sometimes he takes because of pruning. Yeah, he takes because of pruning. He that bears fruit, I will prune so it can bear more fruit. Many years ago, I got a beautiful job in Lagos. I thought it was beautiful. And as I was, that day, something, I was supposed to start work on Friday or so. I went to greet them on Thursday. They informed me that the job was no longer available. He said, where did I go on Sunday? Thursday. The Lord wanted me to go and hear the rumor. You know, I wasn't doing anything. Friday was like the first of the month. So I was just hanging out. So I just, guys, what's happening? They've been trying to reach me. What happened? They don't know. One cloud fell from the sky and damaged one building. You know, all kinds of stories that didn't make sense. What I'm remembering was that as I was driving away, because that day I went with a car, borrowed my cousin's car. As I was going away, I remember I looked and I said, Lord, you took this job from me. Yeah, I said it to him. You took it from me. It was obvious he didn't want me to have it. I've told the story of my life in that area many times. So, and I got a better job the following month. I mean, these guys were going to pay $10,000. Next month, I got a job that was paying me like $25,000 a month. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Nonsense. Nothing like that happened. Nothing like that happened. The next maybe 6-7 months, I didn't get another job. And I was a fully qualified medical doctor in Nigeria, post-NYSC. There was something that just hindered me from getting each time. They will say, how long will you stay with us? And I will answer them. I've applied for residency program in the teaching hospital there in Lagos. So I just want them to keep myself busy. They don't want that kind of person. Sorry, I leave. An auntie of mine said, why do you keep on telling them that? I said, because it's the truth. Exactly what I said. So why do you keep saying that? I said, because they ask. And I have to tell them the truth. I can't lie to them. Everywhere, you know, I landed in Benin for my local final convention around 1st of May, the following year. This is what I'm telling you. It was the year before. Okay, no, maybe earlier that year. My friend, he lives in America now. I took a bike from the gate to the Central Caf, University of Benin. He was waiting there. As soon as I was coming down, he said, hey, Black, I hear you are the only jobless doctor in Nigeria. That's how he greeted me. Brethren, by the way, now, with hindsight, I would not exchange that portion for any amount of money. It's the reason why you're here today. That's part of the reason why you left all the things you have to do to come and listen to me this evening. Everywhere I went, listen, brethren, didn't one day, to let you know it was God, one day, of course, so this time around, I went to Luth. They gave me work, but the nurses were on strike nationwide, so they closed the whole place. So one day, I went and met them, say, when you guys ready to, that day I saw the director of administration, they didn't have any date for us, so we should go. So I went back home. Now listen to what I want to say. I knelt down at home. I don't know whether I let down, but I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, no. I have to do something. I can't just be, it's been months. I spoke to the Lord this evening. Next morning, Reverend Dami, next morning, I was in my house. Someone just called me and said, somebody looking for you. So I came out. One of our brothers, Austin. I said, Rustin, how now? come up, because our house was upstairs. He said, no, I'm in a hurry. Write this address down. You don't get my point. Yesterday night, I told the Lord, no, this is enough now. But find me something to do. The very next morning, guy came. He said, write this address down. I still remember it very well in my head. Number 25, so-and-so street, Ikeja, Lagos. I remember it today. He said, go there. They need a doctor. Later that day, I went. I went and saw them. So-and-so, I see you guys. Okay, good. When can you resume? I'm serious. Like, can you start work now? No, let me go home, go change, that kind of thing. I'm telling you. They just need somebody to work night. God said, during the day, no, I won't give you work for the day. So when I tell you that he took, I'm not joking about it. The day I went to him, I said, now, let me be honest with you. Years later, I looked back. I said, Banky, did you have to pray that prayer to the Lord? Maybe you're stubborn. Maybe your life would have been better than it is right now. If you are not stubborn, because, well, let's thank him. He has forgiven me, I know, even if I did it wrongly. I would just, because I was not a driver. Nothing wrong being a driver, but that was not my first choice. I was staying with my auntie, well, my cousin actually, all right? And her driver left. So every morning, routinely every morning, I had a bath, dressed up. Then all I did was listen, read books and listen to tapes. Took my tapes, and I drove all over Lagos. Which part of Lagos did I not drive to? I get there, inside the car. Banky, I'll be back in 10 minutes. That's 2 hours. Under a tree. But I didn't mind. I remember one day we went to one of these tush areas in Ikoyi that time. I think it was an embassy or something. I said, okay, come. There's a place you can sit out of the sun. I said, no. I said, don't worry. I'm fine here. What she did not know, I was using the car stereo. That's what I was doing. If I go in there, I didn't have a portable player at that time. I was using the car stereo. That was the job I did all the time. Until that day, I just told the Lord, no, Lord. Give me something to do. The next day, he sent me one. The next day. And because it was night, when I finally started working, I combined the two for a while, and it gave me good income. Until one day, he said, enough. I just reasoned. He said, it's enough. Let me give you facts, right? So figures. Those who were not, at that point, they were paying me 9,000 naira a month. It's a lot of money. I mean, like, the money is different from today now, okay? 9,000. And my work, which I now resumed in the teaching hospital, was paying 5,500, thereabout. 6,000. Let's just say 6,000. What did that come to? I was living comfortably. I could give money and all of that. Then one day, let's make it long story short. The word of the Lord came to me saying, drop the 9,000 naira job. I waited to see the MD, waited to see him. I didn't see him because I said, sir, please, I'm so sorry. I wrote a resignation letter and explained everything to him. And I gave him like 5 weeks notice. So I didn't want to write to, but it's been difficult to see you because of our schedule. Please, sir. A man now sat me down. Like, what am I going to do? No, we didn't. He, later on, I came to see him. Or later on, when he has seen my letter, now sat me down. Saw my letter. What am I resigning to do? That I want to go and face my residency program. He looked at me like, are you crazy? He thought I was, because he took me to go and meet Bishop Oyedepo that time. He thought I would jump and come into ministry. I said, no, sir. The Lord has another plan. Where I'm going is that job. So, you know, after I resigned that one, 9,000 naira a month, my salary now, you know, it dropped to 6,000. Then God now opened a door massively. Another job came. I was now doing consulting, speaking only for 1 hour a month, and was being paid 15,000. Bro, it did not happen. I became broke. I was very broke. I was still broke when I met my wife and married her. I had not recovered. Things were a little better, but man, I was, all this one of, if you just obey God, it's not like that though. He said, I've not seen him forsaken, or his seed beg for bread. See, between you and that, your seed coming. Before I became born children, God said, hunger now, because I don't want these children involved. No, I was very, very broke. Everybody thought that was crazy. How will you do this? But you know what I was thinking in my mind? You see, sometimes doing the will of God, it's not a very... It should be so clear to you you are doing what is wrong, if you really want to know what is right. All I was just thinking is that, Banky, you are going to be a preacher. Yes. Look at the work you are doing. You don't have time to breathe. You don't have time to do anything. You are going to church. That's the key for me. I was going to church only twice a month. Yeah, because the job was 2 weekends. And every evening. So midweek services was out. I worked during the day as a resident doctor. midweek services was out. 2 weekends, I had to cover that private hospital. So I reasoned, I looked at it. I said, is this how preachers train themselves? That was why I breathed, resigned, dropped my income from 15,000 to 6,000. I said, we'll not go die. Brethren, it wasn't by the way. But one funny thing, I didn't for 1 month regret it too. I didn't enjoy it. But I didn't, if you gave me the opportunity to redo it at any point, I never thought I would go back. Because hey, I was thinking of life and death. I was thinking of a brilliant future or a, what's the opposite of brilliant? A dull future. I was thinking of a future in which you will not fulfill your destiny. I felt like if it is true, this suffering will enter it. Let's enter it. I told you to the debt, you know, that God took. It took from, it collected from me. God has taken material things from me before. There was a day God told the thief. I didn't see them discuss, but I overheard them. Do you hear what I said? My ear, my spirit. He said, all bankies, worldly goods are inside that car. Break the door. Take the bag. And the thief went there, opened the door, collected my bag, and left. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. That scripture was taught to me by a thief. Yeah, experience. I just left school. I was earning small money. One of the earliest things I wanted to do is buy this, buy that. So all the things I bought, I put them in the bag. One day, God collected everything. I said, come on, boy, you should stop this nonsense. I learned my lesson. After that, I was eternally corrected. Some people, like, you have saved money, saved money, saved money. The day you wanted to now use it. See, there's a, you know what they call ajo? Osusu? Uh-huh. If it is your own that that person took and ran away, I forbid in the name of the Lord from reporting to police, trying to recover it back. I'm giving the word, I'm giving God's word to somebody who, or pursuing the individual. Leave it. It's the Lord that took it. I wanted to tell you. You know, you're planning to go to police this week. That guy doesn't bring the money because if I see you near police, they will lock you up. I will have them lock you up, you. So I command you, leave the money, let it go. I commanded the fellow to steal your own. Did you know that they have never lost money? They've been doing that thing for 5 years until Jonah, you came into their boat on your way to Tarshish. You, your presence is what ruined the whole thing. Even that man that stole your money, he didn't know he was a thief until you came. He did not know he was a thief. It's you that taught him that he's a thief. And God said, forgive him. He said, but if they bring the money back, you will share it into different portions and give to everybody around. The only, if you take any, you must eat it that day. You know, there are things you keep. No. Like, let's assume the money is a million. They finally recover the 1 million for you. Now, hear the word of the Lord. You will take 200,000 naira, send to your mother. 200,000, you send to your church. 200,000, help some people. How many remain? 400. But just continue like that. And if you manage to collect 100,000 remain in your pocket, you will eat it that day. Do you get my point? That day. You will gather your friends, your family. You will go somewhere where they are selling expensive food. If you buy shoe, you are not allowed to buy shoe. You can't buy a shirt. You can eat expensive ice cream. I don't have a problem. Says the Lord. I'm giving you the word of the Spirit. Anything you eat from it must be something that will be consumed. I don't want that money to remain at all. And that's if they bring it back home. But right now, I forbid you from pursuing the money. I'm teaching. I'm the one that took it. That's the point I'm making. And if he ever comes back physically, don't want it back. Share it the way I've told you like this. Your mother has never seen 200K from you. She will see it this time. Now, I'm the one that added that one. That's your mother has never seen. What the Spirit is saying to you has ended. Because God takes. What did I say? God takes. The Lord takes. Let me read the scripture so we can go home. The one we're reading. Yes, Psalm 91. He said, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I'm reading the NIV. I will protect him for he acknowledges my name. That's what I'm explaining. When God reveals himself to David, he said he's the Lord. He said the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. He said, who keeps loving kindness for thousands and forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin? Let me stop there. Moses therefore was able to call upon the name of the Lord and say, go with us. Even though these people are stubborn, stiff-necked people. But you will go with us. Why? You are the God that forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why I gave the example earlier. See, if you did these things I just explained, somebody takes money and says, I bet they've taken me, leave them, let them go. Leave them, let them go. In your mind, God took it. In your mind, it's the Lord that took it. In your mind, it's the Lord that took it. He said, he will call on me, I will answer him. In the time of trouble, I will be with him. I will deliver him and honor him. That's the promise of the Lord for anyone who can acknowledge his name. The Lord led him about, concerning Jacob was spoken, and there was no foreign God with him. What am I trying to say? There is a name God bears in everything in your life. There's a name. You hear what I said? Yeah, there's a name. There's a name he bears in everything in your life. Let me give an assignment. Whatever is happening in your life, go and investigate. What name does the Lord bear? And please acknowledge that name constantly. You hear what I said? Acknowledge that name constantly. You need to. Do you know God even wants us to know that he's the one that judges our iniquities? It's a name you need to call him on. You know what that means? Before you offend anybody, you're not thinking about him. You know, if you see soldier for road now, soldier, you're afraid to offend him. I don't know about you. Maybe you'd like to defy soldier. The way I'm looking at you. These worried boys can do anything. But an average person, if you see a powerful person, you don't want to offend. You don't want to offend. But if you call him the right name, knowing that he's the one that judges your actions, no matter how wicked that person is, you treat him the same way. You didn't get what I said? You see a powerful person, you don't want to offend. But if you know that he's the one that punishes, he's the one that judges. You know the meaning of the word Daniel? Huh? God, my judge, yes. If you know that he's the one that judges, do you know, no matter how weak somebody looks, you will not want to offend the person. I have seen God visibly. I do something because I was angry and I felt what the person did was not right. So I took an action. And God said, no problem. I'll do the same to you. Just that it'll be worse. Okay, let me tell you one story like that. One day, long ago, what I'm telling you is nothing less than 20 years. We are close to that. One guy parked his car wrongly. I was very angry with the way he parked. So I drove past. I could have avoided him. But to show to him that how he parked was bad, I allowed my car to brush his car. God said, no problem. I parked my car somewhere, the same position where I touched that guy. Somebody bashed my car in from there. God said, next time I will do worse to you. I got a point. I didn't tell anybody. How he parked was bad. I can still take you to that position in this old UNTH. So when I was driving, instead of me being very careful, I drove roughly. I knew my car would dent his car and I allowed it to happen. That same position, you know, that portion of the car. This time around, I parked at Newe. My car had a fault. I had to leave it there overnight. I came next day. The guy was my class captain who I gave my keys to. What happened? He said, doesn't know. They came in the morning. That same position was in bashing like 10 times. Worse than the other one. The Lord said, see, Banky, me, I did watch you. I did watch. See, if you see me being careful, it's not righteousness, it's fear. I won't thief your money. Not because I'm afraid of you. Because I know the fear of Isaac. There's the reason why he's called the fear of Isaac. Because your money where I thief now, only 100K. When I want to pay back, 1.5 million, no go even do. It go make sure say, it takes what pains me. You know that kind of, you give to God that which pays you. That's what you go collect. So me, I know they play that kind of play. Say, oh boy, take your money. Is it complete? Are you sure? Say to God, it's complete. I'm telling you. Some of us learn righteousness, not just from discipline, but from fear. My wife will tell me sometimes that Sometimes when she annoys me, you know, it happens once in a while. Your wife knows they annoy you. No, you're a very nice guy. You look very cool. Nobody can ever annoy you. Even the devil, they find her hard. Jesus tells me that if she knows that her husband, that's me, I'm really angry. When she's going, she goes, they look back. No, not about me, whether the Lord is coming. And it's a good fear for you to have. It's a good fear. That's when you call, you know, there's a reason why I call the fear of Isaac. So you will tell people, I can't, when you say that, I can't do that to you. My God is watching. Please don't preach this God of mercy that doesn't ever discipline his children. He does. He does. He will bring out your cane and flog you. But you know one thing he does? After I finish flogging you, he said, come, do. You rub sorrow in the place. You know they call sorrow. You rub the place. Do you want sweet? Do you want sweet?
Yes.
Give you sweet. What else? But sweet or no sweet, you do it again. We do it again. Say, no, daddy. No, daddy. They will give you more sweet. As long as you are saying no, daddy, you're collecting your sweet. But next time you want to do it, one day my daughter told the younger brother, she was very small that time. He said, you're writing on daddy's car. He will beat you, he will not go to church. She learned obedience. So you think she suffered? That's how God does us. See, I can't be telling you stories, very personal things. There are times I had to tell the Lord, I say, Lord, wait, don't bring out Koboko. I understand. Please, just time. Okay, between now and next week, I'll fix everything. And you know what? It has to do with ministry work. Ministry work. Because sometimes I have things in front of me I'm supposed to do. I say, Banky, you didn't waste my time. I say, Lord, don't worry. Just give me money. Let me just fix everything. I put it in mind. Is acknowledging. See, brethren, that is when you will call on him and he will answer. That's what I'm explaining. Many people want to call on God they have not acknowledged constantly. That's why faith is low. Let's go home. I'm just watching my time. Let's just bow down his and give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, thank you. Say, Lord, I acknowledge you again. Call him this name, the fear of Isaac. Now, you are the Isaac. The fear of Isaac. Just use that expression just to show. Sometimes you want to treat your husband the way he deserves, but he's the fear of Isaac. Sometimes you want to treat your wife the way she deserves, you think, but he's the fear of Isaac. You have to acknowledge him all the time. That's what I'm explaining. You have to acknowledge him all the time. You want to treat your boss the way he deserves, but he's the fear of Isaac. He's the fear of Isaac. You know, there are times you want to pay somebody back when he borrowed money from you. It took 6 months for him to pay back. Now you borrowed money from him. You won't pay him back, even though you have it. But he's the fear of Isaac. Are you getting my point? He's the fear of Isaac. He said, don't tell your neighbor to come tomorrow when you have it with you now. Don't repay evil for evil. It's the fear of Isaac. He borrowed money from you that time. In fact, he didn't even pay back again. But you borrowed money from him. And you have the money to pay. You told him it would be 1 week. By the fifth day, I made sure the money was complete in your hand. Thus says the Lord, I'm the fear of Isaac. So you give him his money, not because he deserves it, but because you acknowledge that he's the fear of Isaac. Brethren, that's Christianity I'm teaching you. That is when you will call upon him and he will answer you. Many people don't want to fear him, acknowledge him. Yet they want to call upon him and they want him to answer. No, it is the one you acknowledge all the time. And I'm saying to you, in your life, he takes. Many people have been angry with people. And that's why God preached forgiveness to us. Jesus said, when you are coming, forgive. There's a reason why. Because before we thought somebody did, God said, no, I sent him. God has made everything for a purpose. Even the wicked, for they are ruined the day of destruction. That's what thieves are. Sometimes God sends thieves because he wants to take from you. Giving thanks to this, he said, Father, I thank you. Just say, Lord, I thank you. And I want you to remember, he's the fear of Isaac.